So the Tennessee Titans have officially wrapped up mandatory minicamp, and they have a 5-week break before they have to report back for training camp, which the players are supposed to report July 22nd, and then the first day on the field will be the next day, July 23rd. But I wanted to give a reaction to what I saw out of minicamp the past 3 days. We've officially been through rookie minicamp. We've had OTAs. And now, obviously, just finished up the mandatory minicamp for the entire team. And while I could talk about all of it, I just want to focus on the minicamp, because that's when we had the entire team, and I mean the entire team, including Jeffrey Simmons, which has been a giant talking point. It's the first time the entire team, all 91, 92 players, have all been together. Now, to help me give an accurate breakdown, I'm going to kind of go position group by position group on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. First, starting with the offense, and obviously the big name that everybody wants to know about, Cam Ward. What did you think about Cam Ward? I liked what I saw out of Cam Ward, and I think it's really important to preface this before the fact that it's practice. It is not a game. Cam Ward has not taken an NFL snap. It's really important to understand that nobody becomes a superstar in the NFL before they've taken a single snap of an actual regular season game. Nobody becomes a superstar in the NFL just by what they do in practice. Nobody also completely bombs their career either by what they do in practice. I think it's important to take each day, each rep, with a grain of salt. But overall, I really liked what I saw out of Cam Ward. I thought there were some really wow plays that we saw out of him. And if you watched him at Miami, and even if you watched him at Washington State, there were those giant wow plays. There were a lot of times, and a lot of us knew this about Cam Ward, where there were going to be some plays where he's like, okay, where are you going with this, Cam? Makes you hold your breath, but it ends with all of us picking our jaws up off the ground. There were a lot of those sprinkled throughout minicamp. I remember a play. It was a seam route ran by Gunnar Helm, and Cam Ward is notorious for loving to throw. At least this is what I've noticed. Notorious for loving to throw in between the hashes, in between the numbers. He really likes throwing inside the numbers. He threw a seam to Gunnar Helm, and at first when that ball left his hand, because I saw the position of the defender and where he was on Gunnar Helm, I thought the ball was going to get picked off. But it lands perfectly over the head of the defender, right into the hands of Gunnar Helm for a big explosive play. And me and the other Titans media members that were standing off to the sidelines, we would just all look at each other, and you know, we all had to close our mouths because they were just wide open. It's plays like that where you get really excited about Cam Ward, and you hear how he talks in press conferences and the confidence that just oozes out of him. If you're a Titans fan, you have every reason to be excited about Cam Ward, and even NFL fans in general, not just Titans fans, NFL fans in general. There is a lot of excitement surrounding Cam Ward, but he hasn't taken an NFL snap. So just continue. And I'm not trying to tamper anybody's expectations. I'm not trying to lower anybody's excitement levels, because I think it's totally fine to be excited. Just remember that it is practice, and there are, with the good, there also come the bad. Cam Ward on the final day of minicamp threw two interceptions, one to Cody Barton and one, the name's escaping my mind. I believe it was Davion Ross, who's a defensive back. So he threw two picks on the final day of minicamp, and obviously knowing the competitor that Cam Ward is, that didn't sit well with him. But what Cam Ward has shown the ability to do is, yeah, he'll make a bad play, but he's shown the ability to respond, which is really something that shouldn't come as a shocker, because he's done that throughout his entire career. A zero-star recruit out of high school, ended up going to Incarnate Word in Texas, made a name for himself, transferred to Washington State, made a name for himself, transferred to Miami, was a Heisman finalist, and eventually the number one overall draft pick in the NFL draft. So he's really made a name for himself throughout his career. And now the next step is obviously the NFL. And there are certainly plenty of reasons to be excited just based on what we've seen in practice, what's been reported. I think it's totally fine to be excited. Now, as far as the other quarterbacks, Will Levis, I thought Will Levis has made some great plays. I also think there have been a couple of really bad plays from Will Levis. But it's hard as a quarterback. It's really hard as a quarterback when you were the guy last year, you were the starting quarterback for a majority of the season, and you watch the guy who is going to replace you get drafted number one overall. And I thought that Will Levis has handled that about as maturely as he possibly can, because I'm sure it is not an easy thing to deal with whatsoever. As far as his emotions are concerned, I thought he's handled it very well. I thought he's handled it very, very well, very maturely. And I thought he has made some big plays in training camp. He went out to train with well-renowned quarterback coach guru Jordan Palmer out in California. You can see some of the things that they worked with, like Will Levis tying his lower body to, or mirroring his lower body to the route concept that is on the field. His control on the football looks like it has improved. The thing with Will Levis has been, he's very smart, very hard worker. He can tell the coaches and his teammates, you know, what the play was, where the ball should go. He can do all that. But the problem with Will Levis has been that when live bullets start flying, then his head goes out the window and he starts doing whatever. And that's the thing that can't happen. But the story for Will Levis has to be, when you get the reps, got to make the most of your opportunity. And I thought he's done well so far in training camp, and I've been impressed. As far as the other quarterbacks, Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle, Brandon Allen is pretty much exactly what I thought he would be coming in. A veteran guy, he's been in the league for a while, not a great backup, but a solid, decent backup. That's been pretty much what I've seen out of Brandon Allen. And to be honest with you, Tim Boyle's also, he's hopped from team to team. I think he's been more of a third string quarterback than a backup quarterback. Tim Boyle's actually looked a little bit better in person and in practice than I originally expected coming in. I thought both of them as well have had some big plays every now and again, but it's pretty obvious that the way things are trending with Cam Ward getting more and more reps, that, you know, eventually in due time, he's going to be the guy. Let's move to the running backs: Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, Julius Chestnut. The Titans recently signed Ty Davis Price. I have not seen him yet at practice, but seen a fair amount of Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is Tony Pollard, exactly what you would expect. He looks really good. I'm really hoping, and this is just more so a personal opinion of mine, but I'm really hoping that we get to see more out of Tajay Spears this regular season, because when he was drafted out of Tulane, I had really high expectations, and I know he was a third rounder, but he was really explosive and really dynamic in college. And I'm hoping to see a little bit more of that, and I'm hoping to see him get a little bit more carries more volume, touches. I'd like to see that split up a little bit more between him and Pollard. I thought Julius Chestnut has had a pretty solid camp as well. Now, obviously, he's going to have a little bit of competition because Kalel Mullings is there. Now, Kalel Mullings actually hasn't participated yet, or he's been doing, you know, stuff off to the side, but he really hasn't been like a full participant because he had a core injury that he had to have surgery on right before, I believe it was rookie minicamp. So he's been pretty limited in what he can do, but there's going to be some competition for that RB3 role. But Julius Chestnut, he had two touchdowns the last day of minicamp. He had a wheel route that was thrown to him by Cam Ward when they were working on red zone stuff. And Julius Chestnut had a bobbling one-handed catch that I thought was really good. So I thought Julius Chestnut had a pretty solid camp. And obviously, Tony Pollard is going to do Tony Pollard things. And I'd like to continue to see more out of Tajay Spears. The wide receiver room, never been about quality as much as it is quantity, at least for right now. We know what Calvin Ridley is. He's had multiple 1,000-yard seasons in his career in the NFL. I think him and Cam Ward have been developing a chemistry much quicker than it took for Will Levis and Calvin Ridley last year. But Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley, you can really start to see that chemistry blooming and blooming very quickly. Guys like Elik Eomanner and Jahmyr Adeeke and Xavier Restrepo, they're some of the rookie wideouts. Now, Elik Eomanner, I've been pretty staunch on this. I think he's going to end up being the starting X receiver. And I think he's more than you look at him and he's a big body. He's got a very muscular, lean physique. I think he's much more than a bigger body. I think he's got a little bit of wiggle to him, not as much as Jahmyr Adeeke has. Jahmyr Adeeke is known for running mid 4.340. He's a burner. And I think both of them will be locks to make the roster. Tyler Lockett is in there. Tyler Lockett was very limited. I actually saw him for the first time the final day of minicamp. And very limited in what he could do, but he's going to serve as, I still think he's got some juice left in the tank. It may not be much, but I still think he has some. I think he's going to be able to serve as a veteran leader, a guy who has experience, and he'll be able to pass that down to the younger wide receivers. And you can see guys like Elik Eomanner, they're very receptive. They're very in tune, very observant with what's going on. Elik Eomanner has styled the way that he runs routes after Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is really good at selling every single route that he runs as if he's running a fade or a go. Elik Eomanner was asked about that in training camp, and he styles it. He tries to make every route he runs look like he's running a fade until it's not. And that's because of Calvin Ridley. So, and he's very Elik Eomanner is very intelligent. You can tell by talking to him. I the more I watch him, the more impressed I am. And I was already really high on Elik Eomanner. I thought the Titans should have drafted him before they did. I was really high on him because I remember the game versus Travis Hunter in 2023 when Elik Eomanner was on Stanford again and they were going up against Colorado. I remember what Elik Eomanner did to Travis Hunter in that game. And if you're not quite sure what he did, I highly suggest you go back and you watch that game and just see. Some of the other receivers, Xavier Restrepo, another very popular name. I thought Xavier Restrepo has been a magnet the last 3 days. He's primarily going to be a slot guy. I really don't see him being an outside guy just because of the way he's built. He's not a very tall guy. He's thick, but he's not very tall. I don't see Xavier Restrepo being an outside guy. I see him being primarily in the slot. And he certainly made the most of it, I thought, during minicamp because he has had a lot. And I mean a lot of receptions in practice over the last 3 days. He just finds ways to get open. He's really good. He's smart. He's a smart guy too. Really good about finding holes in the zone, being able to sit down and just get the ball. So I thought that's really stuck out. I think he has a very good shot at making the 53-man roster. But as far as the wide receiver room, I don't think as of right now that it is about quality as much as it is quantity, because the Titans have a lot of wide receivers in the room. Bryce Oliver, a guy that I forgot to mention. Bryce Oliver had a phenomenal day the last day of minicamp, had multiple touchdowns and a super big day. I think Bryce Oliver's trending in a direction where he'll definitely be on the 53. Other guys, Mason Kinsey, Colton Dow. Colton Dow was pretty limited in what he could do. Traylon Burks coming back from the ACL. He was very limited. He mostly got his work in the individual periods. So lots of wide receivers on the roster. I think it'll make things very interesting come training camp to see who makes that final 53, but Titans certainly have a lot of receivers. Tight ends. Gunnar Helm, the fifth round pick out of Texas, a guy a lot of fans know. Chigakonkwo, Josh Wiley, David Martin Robinson, Thomas Odokoya, Drake Dabney, an undrafted rookie out of TCU. I thought all of them have had their moments. I've really been impressed by David Martin Robinson. I'm hoping that he gets some chances this year, because Luke Stalker talked about this, the Titans tight end coach. David Martin Robinson has every tool that you'd want in a tight end. He's big, he's muscular, he's fast, can catch, smooth route runner. So I'd like to see him get more opportunities. Gunnar Helm, a big knock on him coming out of the draft was the 40 time. He ran a 4.8. But what a lot of people don't realize is he was running on a swollen ankle. So I think if, you know, it wasn't swollen, he would have ran a lot faster. And you could see in practice that Gunnar Helm has a little bit of get up to him. He's not slow. And he's really, really good, crisp route runner, really good at tracking the ball in with his eyes to his hands. Chigakonkwo has had some great plays in practice, had a lot of great plays last season. Explosive plays. I'd like to see more of that. Josh Wiley, I'd really just like to be able to see Josh Wiley get healthy and stay healthy, because that's been one of his biggest Achilles heels. But Josh Wiley plays the tight end position like a power forward in basketball. Uses a big body, uses that to his advantage, especially in goal line situations. I'd like to see him stay available. And as far as the offensive line, it's a completely different offensive line. Dan Moore, you bring him in from Pittsburgh to be the left tackle. You flip J.C. Latham over to the right side. You bring in Kevin Zeitler from Detroit to be your right guard. Peter Skoronski is your left guard, hoping Lloyd Cushenberry is able to recover so he can be the center week one of the regular season. Right now it's Corey Levin who's received most of the reps during minicamp because of the circumstances surrounding Lloyd Cushenberry. It's a completely different offensive line. But you also got to consider that the left tackle's never played next to the left guard. The center has never played next to the right guard. The right guard's never played next to the center or the right tackle. And J.C. Latham has not played right tackle in the NFL yet. So there's a lot of question marks. But as far as on paper, the offensive line should be, and I say that with air quotation marks, should be better than what Titans fans have seen the last few years. And as far as the depth pieces, offensive line coach Bill Callahan seems pretty pleased with the depth pieces. He talked about that on the final day of minicamp. So we'll just have to see how it goes. And with that, we'll flip over to the defensive side of the ball. So let's start with the defensive line. Now, it obviously made headlines that Jeffrey Simmons reported to mandatory minicamp but was not at the OTAs or any of the other organize team activities. Now, I'm not going to beat a dead horse because this has been talked about plenty. I do think that he should have been there as the leader, as one of the, if not the best player on the Tennessee Titans. I would have been there. But I'm not going to beat a dead horse. He's there now, and he has dropped about 20 pounds. Jeffrey Simmons mentioned that he weighed in at about 301. I believe this was on the first day of minicamp. And you could really tell, like, you didn't even have to ask Jeffrey Simmons about weight loss to understand that, hey, like, he looks slimmer, he looks leaner, and he looks really good. He's at about 300 pounds, and you could tell that there is the energy that he brings to the defense. It is also carried over to the offense a little bit as well, and it's really uplifted the entire team, at least throughout the minicamp practices. So I think that it is encouraging that Jeffrey Simmons is there now. He's going to have to be the best defensive player on the team. I feel like he's talked about getting his sack numbers up from what they were last year. And that's something that really the Titans as a whole have talked about, is coordinating their pass rush to where in the traditional base defense that the Titans play, where they have three down defensive linemen and two stand-up outside backers, kind of like a 5-2-4 defense, that these defensive linemen are going to have to penetrate their gaps and get home to where the quarterback doesn't have a space to go. Because let's say Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, they're in the middle. They're able to get pressure up the middle, force the quarterback to have to roll out. It would be nice to have somebody like an Arden Key or a Femi Aladejo be able to clean it up afterwards. Or vice versa, where you have an Arden Key and you have a Femi Aladejo get pressure on the edge of the pocket, force the quarterback to step up, and boom, they run right into Jeffrey Simmons or Tavondre Sweat. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about coordinated pass rush, where everybody has a certain responsibility of penetrating their gap to where there's no space for the quarterback to go, and eventually one of those linemen are able to get home. Having a good defensive line also helps the secondary, because if the defensive line is able to get home to the quarterback quicker, the corners, the safeties, even some of the linebackers are not having to cover as long. And I'll get to the linebackers in the secondary in a second. But this defensive line, there are not a whole lot of big names. There's not a whole lot of production, if I'm just being frankly honest with you. But you have Jeffrey Simmons, you have Tavondre Sweat, who Jeffrey Simmons is a top 10, top 12 defensive tackle in the NFL. And I'd argue with how he looks right now, he looks more of more like an edge rusher than a defensive tackle. But anyways, he's a top 10 to 12 player at his position in the NFL. Tavondre Sweat did some great things as a rookie last year. Now, obviously, you'd like to see him do a little bit more as well. The main reason Tavondre Sweat was brought in was to be a run stuffing, just taking up space, taking up double teams, to where it allows a guy like Jeffrey Simmons or maybe someone else to get on one-on-one opportunity to potentially beat that offensive lineman and therefore get to the quarterback. Brian Callahan has talked about how he'd like to see Tavondre Sweat elevate his game in the fact to where he's not just stopping the run, but also he's able to affect the pass as well. So that would be big time for Tavondre Sweat if he was able to do that. And then obviously you have your guys like Jalen Harrell, who was a rookie last year. You don't really know what all he's going to bring to the table. You hope that he can bring more than what he brought last year, because this defensive line needs it. Sebastian Joseph Day, who was a veteran, I thought was a solid piece last year. He's back. Femi Aladejo, obviously a stand-up kind of edge rusher guy. Femi Oladejo, his physical appearance is extremely impressive. So your hope that he's able to, and he made this during his senior year at UCLA, the transition from inside backer to more of a edge rush type. So you're hoping that he continues to develop quickly. But as far as size and speed, he's certainly got that, and he's also a very energetic guy as well. And that's certainly something that has uplifted the entire team, the positivity that he's able to bring to each practice, to each rep. I mean, he's full blast every single rep, and it's exactly what you want to see. So while there's not a lot of quality defensive linemen, and there's not a lot of returning or not a lot of production really in general, you're wanting to be optimistic that Jeffrey Simmons, he set out a goal to get more sacks this year. You're hoping that he's able to do that. I forgot who the coach was, but I think it was Brian Callahan, mentioned that the Titans left 20-plus sacks on the table last year. 20-plus sacks. So if they're able to kind of learn from what they did last year and increase those sack numbers, obviously that would be huge. Let's move on to the linebackers, and I kind of touched on the outside linebackers with the defensive linemen, so I'm going to more so focus on the inside backers. Cody Barton. Cody Barton is a fun guy to talk to. He's also very energetic, a veteran, played for four different franchises during his NFL career, has a nose for the football. I feel like he's a lot of what you would want for an inside backer, but he's really the guy in the middle. He is the guy in the middle, and the guy that's next to him, the inside backer that's next to him, we're not entirely sure who that guy will be yet. It's Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator, has talked about this is very much an open competition to see who's going to be playing next to Cody Barton. That could be Cedric Gray, depending on his health. That could be James Williams. I've seen a lot of James Williams in practice. Guys like that. And there are certainly some other guys in the mix, but those are certainly the two names that really stick out to me. I also forgot to mention guys like Lorenzo Carter and Draymond Jones, who were brought in as free agents. I don't know how I missed those guys. But Draymond Jones has certainly been impressive in practice. Lorenzo Carter, you're hoping that they can contribute to that pass rush and make it better than what it was last year, and hoping that you're able to affect the quarterback more than you were able to affect the quarterback last year. But as far as the inside linebacker competition is concerned, that is still very much up for grabs. I'd say that and wide receiver, certainly two position battles that you're going to want to keep out for or keep an eye out for throughout training camp, because that is going to be very, very interesting. The secondary, Amani Hooker, proven guy. I thought that he is exactly what you think throughout minicamp so far. Amani Hooker has looked great. Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods was a guy that was brought in from Carolina. He's been a very durable player, has not missed a lot of games during his NFL career, and I believe it was he played north of 95% of the defensive snaps last year for the Panthers, which is a great thing. That is certainly something that the Titans have not had the best luck in over the past couple of seasons in terms of health. There have been a lot of injuries, a lot of devastating injuries. But if you're able to have a guy like Xavier Woods, who is an Iron Man and durability is one of his biggest strengths and biggest assets that he brings to the table, that's certainly a positive thing. As far as the corner position is concerned, you have Roger McCreary, who's primarily been a nickel. I thought that he's been great during his early years in the NFL. You hope that he continues to take a step in the right direction. As far as corners, Jarvis Brownlee and Gabe Judy Lawley have been the two primary corners throughout practice. Now, it has been well talked about and certainly well noted that L'Jarius Sneed has had some health concerns last year and has some legal concerns, some things that have happened off the field. So Brian Callahan has talked about this a lot, but he said, and this is what really stuck out to me, and I put it out on Twitter, there, him and the coaching staff are still waiting for L'Jarius Sneed to prove that he was the player that the Titans were hoped they were getting originally when he was in Kansas City. Because when L'Jarius Sneed was in Kansas City, he was arguably one of the best, if not the best, corner in the NFL. But he missed almost, I'm not exactly sure how many games, I'm blanking on the number, but he did not play a whole lot last year because of health concerns. And now there's all this legal drama that's surrounding. So the jury's still out on L'Jarius Sneed. But Brian Callahan talked about, like, hey, like, he didn't mince his words when he was saying this. But he needs L'Jarius Sneed to prove that he was the player that the Titans were hoping that he would be when during his time in Kansas City. So I thought that was certainly a really interesting nugget that I got out. And that was the first day of mandatory minicamp. And I put that out on Twitter. Jarvis Brownlee, I thought he was kind of thrown into the fire last year. I thought he did well for the most part. I thought that he was a steal of a pick in the fifth round, a second-year player out of Louisville, very feisty, is a very physical at the line of scrimmage, doesn't necessarily have the speed, but I'd say one of his biggest attributes is his physicality and his ability to press at the line of scrimmage. I thought Gabe Judy-Lawley, a undrafted guy out of Tennessee, also spent some of his collegiate career at Vanderbilt originally, then transferred to BYU and then Tennessee. I thought Gabe Judy-Lawley, who was signed by the team last year, kind of stuck around. I believe he made some appearances late during the regular season, but was mostly a practice squad guy. I thought Gabe Judy-Lawley has really been impressive throughout training camp because he's had a lot of pass breakups. That's something that I've noticed. He's had a lot of pass breakups, getting his hand in there, knocking the ball away, in tight windows as well. So I thought that's been really nice. Marcus Harris, the sixth-round pick out of Cal, I thought he's had some pass breakups. He actually had one on Calvin Ridley during a 7-on-7 period, the final day of mandatory minicamp, which I made sure to take a note of. So, but it really helps if that defensive line is able to do their job, able to get home, because that'll help this secondary not have to cover so long. But overall, I thought that was, I just kind of wanted to go position by position and share some thoughts on what I've seen so far out of mandatory minicamp. And yeah, we have 5 weeks, but it'll be here before you know it, before we get going with training camp. And that's when the position battles really start to heat up. I'll make sure to keep you in the loop on what I'm seeing at practice. But in the meantime, make sure to follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Parker_Kelly10. I'm putting out content from what I see at practice. So if you want to stay in the loop, make sure to give me a follow and you'll be in the know. And also make sure to listen to Talking with TD with Teron Davenport. I co-host with him on his podcast, and we'll keep you in the loop. We will keep you in the loop as we await the start of training camp. Remember, the players report on July 22nd, and then they're officially out on the field on July 23rd. Lots of exciting things to be on the lookout for down the barrel. But in the meantime, make sure that you're following, and I'll keep you updated on everything Tennessee Titans.